Welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. Whether you like to fish, enjoy talking about fishing, or just enjoy the fishing lifestyle, this is the podcast for you. So go grab yourself a cold drink or a hot cup of coffee, sit back, start tying up some fishing rigs, and enjoy the show.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. I hope you're having a good day, whatever day it is that you happen to be listening to the show. Today, I'm going to be talking about trolling motors. I've got some warnings and an opportunity for some of y'all that may be looking for a trolling motor to get one at a good price. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to thank everybody who's checking out the video, whether you're listening to it on the podcast platforms that are out there or watching it on YouTube. It's funny, the YouTube videos are now being viewed and seen more than the actual podcast is being listened to. YouTube's done a great job of disseminating these podcast format type videos out there, and people can listen to them very easily, or they can watch them. So I appreciate you guys checking it out. I'll bring you up to date, a little trolling motor saga on my boat. This is some good information if you got a boat, you got a kayak. You guys that bank fish, well, it's probably not going to pertain to you too much unless you're thinking about getting a boat down the road. So there may be some little pointers here to keep in mind. If you've followed anything on the channel, you know that I bought a used Lund. Grand Baron Magnum, I think is what it's called. Grand Baron, something like that. It's a big 21-foot boat. It's an older boat. It's 20 years old. And it had a Ulterra motor on it. I have to get the names right. Minn Kota has different names for their different types of trolling motors. There's the Ulterra, which is the one that came on this boat when I got it. It's auto-deploy, auto-stow. It's really sexy. It's really nice. There's a catch to that, though, and we're going to get into that. They have the Tarova, which is one that's a step down, doesn't have any of that fancy stuff. They have a Riptide, which is a saltwater version. And then there's a Power Drive, which is what I've always had on all my boats. It's what I've got on my skiff. It's kind of their basic model. And I think there's some other ones, but you have to kind of keep up with these names because they all have different little features and things to them. But the Lund had a Ulterra 24 volt motor on it. It had a 48 inch shaft on it. And I decided I was going to keep this motor on there until something went wrong with it. And it's, a, you know, like I said, the auto deploy is wonderful. You hit a button, the motor goes in the water. You hit a button, it comes out of the water. You never have to go to the bow of the boat. It's great on guy trips. But it made me nervous because of the mechanical stuff that's involved in it. So I committed to staying with it. It needs a little longer shaft. The 48-inch shaft is okay when you're trolling at low speeds, but when you really start to dig in or you get a lot of weight at the back of the boat, the top of the prop is close to the top of the water and it can create some noise and stuff. So I said, if I ever get one, I'll get one with a longer shaft. We'll talk about that in a minute too. That's a whole nother can of worms. So anyway, last year I was out and I'm trying to think of what happened. Something happened. I did a video on it with the, I think the battery was dead. I think I had not charged the battery, on the boat, and I didn't have a trolling motor, so the trolling motor wasn't working. So obviously the trolling motor won't deploy or anything like that. If it has no power, you can't put it in the water. So that wasn't a big deal. The big deal happened when the battery died in the remote. Okay, I had deployed the motor into the water. It was a cold morning in the winter. Motor's in the water. I got to pull it back in. The battery in the remote, the little wireless thing, was dead. Now, this motor does not have a foot control with it, so I could not hook up the foot control to do anything with it. Matter of fact, I don't even know if the Ulterra has a foot control. My new motor does have a foot controller with it. My old Power Drive had a foot control. I don't even know if this one comes with it because everything is automatic with the buttons. But anyway, the motor's in the water, okay? The battery's dead in the remote. I cannot get the motor to come back in. There is no way, like on a power drive to where you go up there and you flip a lever, you pull it back in. With the Ultera, you cannot do that. And that's one of the things that concerned me and always worried me. I knew this was a potential problem with this trolling motor. And I think the folks at Minn Kota have learned that it's a problem with this trolling motor. They have a video that shows a fix for it, a way to get it back in when you're out on the water. The problem with that is you have to carry a set of tools with you. You are forced to go into the bow of your boat and start taking panels off of the side of the trolling motor, unscrewing stuff. We know what happens when we start unscrewing stuff. We drop screws. Well, you drop them in your driveway, it's one thing. You drop them in the lake, they're gone forever. You have to pull panels off. You have to undo more screws off a bracket. You have to know which one it is to loosen this thing up. And then you have to have a screwdriver to pry that apart and open. And then you go through some stuff to get it temporarily stowed. And even at that point, you have to carry something with you to strap it in place. So it's not a quick fix. It's not easy. I figured out a way when the battery died. Luckily, when the battery died, actually what I ended up doing was I had a scale on the boat. Tucked the batteries out of the battery-powered scale. They went to the trolling motor remote. And was able to get everything working and continue fishing. But it did, it taught me to figure out a way to make this work without taking the panel apart. And there is a way, and I'll try to put some clips of what this looks like in this video for the video version. There is a way to pull the motor straight up out of the water. And if you have a trolling motor, normally, you know, when you release it to stow it, it kind of comes up and tilts in. With this one, all you can do when you lose power to it is run it straight up the collar of the head that is mounted on the boat. So I devised a way and carried a strap. It was using a strap that I used deer hunting to secure a safety harness to a tree. Carried an extra one of those with me. And figured out a way that if this ever happens, I can limp home. Fast forward to last week. I was out fishing, trolling, dragging baits, everything going good. Nothing odd, nothing out of the ordinary. Motor's running great. All of a sudden, boom, motor cuts off. Can't figure out why, what's up. I look at my app, check my Epic battery, my Epic lithium battery. App says we got plenty of voltage going to it. I mean, it's at like 90% power, so there's plenty of power. All the cells are good on it. Look at the remote. And where you see the little propeller on the remote that shows that the motor is spinning, there's an X across it. So I'm like, what's up? Go to the motor. The motor, the head of the motor is getting power. Power's making it to there. Everything looks good. Try doing auto trim. Nothing works. So tried to stow the motor. Nothing works. The motor's in the water. I'm at that point where I'm like, all right, what am I going to do now? I'm stuck with the motor in the water. Well, luckily, because I had rehearsed all this, I had the strap on the boat, went up there. There's a little metal lever you're able to pull to release the shaft inside that collar. I was able to slide it up, wrangle the strap around it, and I'm able to take the boat back down the lake with this 48-inch motor sticking straight up in the air. And, you know, you're able to get it onto the trailer. You know, there's no problem getting onto the trailer. Get it onto the trailer, get it up into the parking lot, the ramp. I'm able to lower the motor down. The motor is hanging all the way down, you know, next to the trailer. So fast forward, I get home and I'm like, listen, I'm just going to go ahead and get, I've got guy trips coming up. I've got stuff to film. I'm just going to go ahead and get another motor. I need one with a longer shaft anyway. This will be another little twist in the story. So I order a motor, find a good price on one, and I don't order the Ultera. I decided I'm not going with the auto deploy. As nice as it is, it scares me. And, you know, it may work forever. It may work fine. This is just a little bump in the road. But I decided to get the Tarova Plus. It was a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper. Probably $1,800 cheaper. So I went that route. And I decided to get a 60-inch shaft. I figured that will be 12 inches longer than the shaft that is on the boat currently. And that should give me plenty of penetration into the water so that the prop's spinning good. So get the motor, get it home. start, you know, putting it together. Luckily, the Alterra was on there on a quick release plate, so it made putting all this on a lot easier. So I had to redo some wood on the front of the boat anyway. It was kind of good timing for that. I deployed the motor there in the driveway. We're looking at it, make sure everything's running. I was like, that thing looks like it's barely deeper than where the previous motor was. Let's pull out tape measure, start measuring stuff, and figure out that, one, the Alterra doesn't have a locking collar on it like a lot of trolling motors do. The locking collar is a little device. It's got a little hand-tightened screw on it that you can lock the motor in different depths and different depths, or you can lock it once it's on the boat. A lot of people will get it stowed on the boat, slide the locking collar down so that it should not slip out while you're going down the lake. But for a lot of people, they want it at a certain depth underneath the boat, whatever. You use the locking collar for them. There's the locking collar, so there's about that much. Then, underneath that, on this Tarova, is this lift assist device. It's a little box, basically, about the size of your hand. Maybe that high. And what it's got inside of it is a metal band, spring-loaded, that runs down the shaft of the trolling motor all the way to the foot where the motor is. And it runs back up into this little box, and it's spring-loaded. So when you deploy it or lift it, it gives you a little bit of assistance in lifting the motor. Nice little feature. The problem is, between that bracket and then the collar, you're losing about that much off of the shaft. So it's one of those things where you're trying to get a longer shaft on the motor to get into the water, but they're eating up, you know, 8 inches of that 12-inch addition with all this stuff that is on the collar. So my warning to you is, if you buy one of these motors in the future, you need a longer shaft because you have a boat like mine that has a very high bow on it. Maybe you're in a center console, something like that. My suggestion is, be aware of that when you buy something, when you buy one of these motors, that if it has that power assist lift, it could be an issue. Fast forward to the motor. The Alterra is still out here sitting in the driveway. I have a couple of dealers that work on the motors locally, and I'm going to take it in. I think I'm going to take it in, because this is where the opportunity comes in for maybe some of y'all if you're interested. I'm thinking about selling the motor as is. It's not working. So if anybody's interested, understand you're going to get a motor that will not spin. At least last time I checked, you may go out there and turn this thing on and it works just fine. I'm thinking about selling it as is. I think what it's going to come down to is probably some type of control board inside the motor is probably bad. I looked online. I think they're about $300. I'm deciding either one, whether I want to fix it, do a DIY video on it, which would, I hate doing DIY videos, but it may be interesting to swap that out and see what happens, and then you can see my frustration when that's not the problem and I have to repair something else, or just selling it and letting one of you DIY people jump on board, buy it at a reasonable price. I mean, the bottom line is, if I go get it fixed, probably sell it for $1,500. You know, if I sell it now and somebody's got to fix it, they're taking a gamble on it, I'll sell it for less. So I may end up doing that. I don't know. Don't know what I'm going to do. It's a perfectly good motor when it's running. It's wonderful when it's running. And if you're into trolling motors and working on them and have fixed them, I have done a little bit of work on replacing some seals in my old one. It's really not that hard. The work on them is not that hard. The hard part on this is troubleshooting exactly what the problem is. And that's what I can't figure out. And like I said, typically, from everything I've researched online, when you look at that remote and the motor is X'd out, the computer has turned it off for some reason. And the brains of it has turned it off. A lot of the motors will turn off automatically when they're near the top, getting ready to come in the boat. They're able to sense how close they are to the, you know, coming up out of the collar. They turn it off so you don't pull a running motor into the boat. Some of the newer ones are able to do that. This one, I don't know. I don't know if it's a board issue. I don't know if the motor died in it. It could be something with the motor that has completely died and went kapunk. So it's hard to tell. It's hard to figure out. I hadn't messed with it. Bottom line is I need to put a new motor on the boat, and it's on there. So when you see the videos, I've got another motor on there. Like I said, it's a Tarova now, and it's working. Wish I had a 72-inch shaft on it. If I had it to do over, and depending on what happens with this motor, that one may go on to the skiff, and I may end up buying another one for this boat, or who knows, I may sell the one with the 60-inch shaft to one of y'all and buy a 70. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do this whole video just to give y'all some little words of warning, things to think about, and things to consider when you're dealing with these Minn Kota motors. Great motors when they run. I mean, the power drive I've got on the boat has run forever. It is old. I'm not sure. I think between the two Minn Kota trolling motors I've owned, I've had them for at least 20 years. So I think the first one may have run until something went with our, I forget what the deal was. I got rid of it. I think it was running when I got rid of it. And put this new one on there. This one on my skiff, man, it's worn and weathered and it's been through a lot. But they run great. I'm just a little bit hesitant on the Ulterra with the auto deploy. It just kind of worries me. Like I said, I've got workarounds. There's fixes for it that can get you moving and going. I just now I'm still, thank you, Lord Jesus, able to move around and physically able to deploy the motor and all that kind of stuff. And for some people, it's not that easy. And having one of these auto assist ones is a benefit. And I think that's why the previous owner had it. It's just a lot easier for getting the motor in and out of the water. So my tips and advice to all of you, I would love some comments from you on some of this stuff, whether it be what the possible problem could be with the Ulterra motor. Or, just some feedback on it and what your thoughts are, what you've experienced with some of this stuff, what some of that stuff can be. Because, man, you guys are a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of good stuff. And appreciate you watching. Appreciate you checking out the podcast. And we'll catch you out on the water.